Hi, this is Nicholas Webb, and welcome to the Human Experience Innovation Masterclass. In this masterclass, you're going to get an introduction into the superpower of human experience innovation, which is a really exciting area. When we understand how to apply these principles of human experience innovation, we can drive major improvements in sustainable and predictable revenue growth. We can attract and retain and inspire mission-critical talent. And we can also attract and inspire customers, vendors, partners. We can also develop a world-class reputation within our own communities. It turns out that human experience innovation may be the secret weapon for 2025 and beyond for organizations that are looking to grow in terms of revenue, in terms of significant improvements in operational excellence, and really the list goes on and on. Now, I know that may sound like an exaggeration, but think about it. Everything that we do is people-powered. Everything. Everything that we do is people-powered. If we want to create a great innovation, we need a team of great people that are inspired and incentivized to be able to innovate with us. We need customers that want to buy from us. We need distributors that want to sell our stuff. We need everybody within the experiential ecosystem to benefit by virtue of their relationship with us. Now, here's the problem. Many organizations do human experience great in one category. For an example, they may deliver okay customer experience. But the problem is, if their employees are unhappy, that's not sustainable, because unhappy employees love to share the pain. Conversely, unhappy customers that are buying defective products or experiencing submarginal experiences love to take it out on the employee, especially customer-facing employees. So you see, if we look at this the way we should, there are two fundamental principles of human experience innovation. Number one, human experience is an innovation activity. Now, let's describe innovation. In my best-selling book, The Innovation Mandate, I have come up with, after reviewing over 2,000 definitions of something as simple as innovation, what I believe is the most actionable definition of innovation. Innovation is the process of creating new, novel value that serves your organization and your customer. Innovation is the process of developing novel value that serves you and your customer. Now, novel, in other words, new, doesn't mean new to the universe. It just means maybe new to your product, or you new to your organization, or new to your industry, or it may be a combination of newness. When you really think about it, everything essentially or philosophically has already been invented. The real difference is taking these elements, the ether of innovation, and bringing them together to deliver far better value. Steve Jobs didn't invent electricity. He invented a way to use small voltage electricity to create a user interface that fits in the back of your pocket that has connection to all human knowledge. So obviously that was a big innovation, but he was using the stuff, the ether of innovation. So the first thing we need to realize that in order to create better experiences for customers and members and patients and anybody that's within our ecosystem of influence, it's an innovation process. We need to get far better insights about what they love and hate, and then we need to create things that are far above their baseline level of customer or employee expectation. Now, in my organization Heyday, yourheyday.com, we help organizations do this. And what we do is we focus on five categories. Number one, we focus on customer experience. How do we significantly improve customer experience? And of course, the answer to that is human experience innovation. How do we improve employee experience? If you're an association, how do we improve membership experience? Right? So it doesn't matter what business you're in, even if you're a not-for-profit or a governmental agency, everybody has somebody that they deliver value to. The idea around human experience innovation is twofold. One, recognizing the fact that human experience is in fact an innovation activity. We get insights, we transmute good insights into good innovations, and we deliver them to the ecosphere. That's innovation. The second thing that we have to realize is that most organizations do this fractionally. I have to say, so many times when we have been contacted by a potential client and they say, look, we are getting destroyed with our online reviews and we want you to come in and to fix the problem of our customers not liking the products and or services that we deliver. When we do a what we call an HXI maturity assessment, we take a look at where they are in this body of research. We find that, yeah, it's not surprising, their product are upset. Now, it doesn't mean that it's possible to make everybody happy. You really can't do that in customer experience or employee experience. But you can lead your market. You can drive rapid revenue growth. You can reduce costs. You can do everything that you want to do in terms of your strategic priorities just by leveraging these principles. So again, human experience innovation means that we've got to get better insights, and that goes beyond surveys and voice of the customer methodologies and promoter scores and all of these other things that provide fractional, in my opinion, and incomplete data. We don't deliver better experiences not because we're not inclined to. We're all good people. We want to do good things, but we're acting with really bad insights. And if you're using exclusively surveys, guaranteed, whether it's an employee survey or a customer survey, the insights you have are just plain wrong and certainly incomplete. You know, I've been awarded over 40 patents for technologies over the years. And one thing I'm really excited about in the innovations that I created is what it taught me. And what it taught me to be successful at innovation is that inventing is easy. The hard part is knowing what to invent. And most organizations don't know what to invent because the insights they have are either A, erroneous, wrong, or B, woefully incomplete. We can't create betterment in experiences for employees, members, patients, and customers if we don't truly understand what their current baseline level of expectation is, and if we don't understand them across a range of what we call hate/love personas. We need to know all of that stuff, or we just simply can't do this. Okay, hopefully I've persuaded you to believe that customer experience, employee experience, membership experience, patient experience, and sales experience are really an innovation activity. I also hope that I've explained and persuaded you to understand that we don't deliver value monolithically to a customer and forget everybody else, or to an employee and forget everybody else. We need to understand the ecosystem that we serve. Who are the people within our ecosystem? What do buyers think about our product? What do customers think about our product? What do regulators think about our product? What does the community think about our product? And when I say community, I mean typically a community of users, but in some cases, just a community. So what do we really know about what people expect and how we can be more broadly thoughtful in the way in which we positively impact everyone across the ecosystem? So before I go much farther, I'd like to point out that this program, this masterclass, is an introduction to a program that I'm very excited about. It's a program that we call the Certified Master of Human Experience. And I strongly suggest you consider taking the full masterclass certification program, and you can find that on Your Heyday, spelled HAYDAY. So it's Your, and then Heyday, spelled HAYDAY.com. And there we provide some certification training and some help in terms of making this stuff all work. And again, I'm not here to sell you anything. I just want to point out that the stuff is out there. There are people that can help you fill any kind of informational or resource gaps to make sure you bring this home. As we enter into 2025 and transition through 2025, we're going to find that there is no doubt about the fact that the best way to drive growth, to protect ourselves from competition, to get the insights that we need to deliver relevant and fantastic technologies, products, and services to the market is through the implementation of a thoughtful HXI strategy. And it's easy to do. It just requires the hard part, And that, of course, is always a commitment. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the formal definition of human experience innovation. Human experience innovation is the process of gaining insights across your entire experiential ecosystem. In other words, anybody that you engage is in your ecosystem so that you can then develop better experiences across the ecosystem. That's it. If it's that easy, then why do most organizations fail to practice human experience innovation? I think the answer to that is really simple: compartmentalization. If you're in human experience, if you're an HR director, chances are you're not collaborating with whoever owns customer experience within your enterprise, and of course, vice versa. Chances are that if you're in one of those departments, you're also not collaborating with central purchasing and supply that buys stuff and develops relationships with vendors and partners. And you know, therein lies the problem. And what I find in my practice and working with great brands across the country is that we're able to build out formal HXI executive committees that bring these people together with the very specific goal of creating an integrated and holistic experiential value that serves everybody within the ecosystem. In other words, we build formal plans around human experience innovation. In fact, some folks today call this happiness as a strategy, HAAS. Happiness as a strategy is often bolted on to the enterprise strategic plan in order to help fuel far better strategic results. And speaking of far better strategic results, some data shows that organizations that are using collaborative ideation, which is something that makes employees very, very happy, and the insights that are gained make customers very, very happy. Organizations that are using formal innovation strategies around human experience innovation are achieving as much as a 60% better return on stated strategic priorities. They're reducing costs through robotic process automation by as much as 30%, and then taking that time and reallocating it to individuals to do the things that we humans do best. I guess what I'm saying is, it's some stuff that we have to learn to be able to apply, but when we apply it, the return on investment is 10, 20, 30x. We just completed a project for a client in Los Angeles where they received a $10.7 million return on this initiative. That's crazy, but it works. And it's sad to me that so many organizations are just not willing to lean into newness in a time of differentness. In fact, rather than leaning into newness, chaotic change, they recoil away from it and double down on legacy ideas about where they get insights from the market, how they build out their legalistic and non-flexible strategies, and ultimately even the way in which they train customer-facing stakeholders, leaders, and managers. It's sad. Because the good news is we can do two things that are really powerful. And these are things I'm super passionate about. You can impact other human beings. I mean, think about the power of making somebody's day better, of making a customer's day better, or making a job more meaningful for an employee. That's the beauty of human experience innovation. It's the humanity of what we do as an enterprise. That's the beauty. But it's also poetic. Because in addition to delivering far better experiences for customers and employees, it also significantly and positively impacts the enterprise. So it's good for the enterprise in a very big way, as much as 60% better returns on stated strategic priorities, reduction in cost by 30%, major improvements in terms of enterprise excellence, and the list goes on and on. Also, not least of which is our ability to really innovate, because it's customer-facing, problem-facing, and opportunity-facing stakeholders that we collaborate through HXI that allows us to get insights that we would never see on a survey or really anything else. It's the only way to do it, and it works beautifully. I have to say, for over 30 years, we've been applying some aspect of these principles in our consulting practice, and I love the fact that we're able to impact other people. and at the same time serving the goals of the mission of the organization or corporation that brought us on. It's a beautiful thing. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what is in the human experience ecosystem. I think that really every human experience ecosystem is different. And if we get too rigid in what makes up that ecosystem, I think that it may create a deficient strategy. But before I go into these different participants of the ecosystem, let me just say this, and that is, you know, if you look at your customers, your employees, the community that your organization is existing in, the product or service community that you deliver value to, it's really very much like a ecological ecosystem. You know, if you look at an ecosystem where there are deers and there are field mice and there are different species of insects and certain species of grass and trees and so on, when you look at those, going back to my college days of ecology, what you begin to realize is, wow, these different species, from the bugs to the field mice to the reptiles to the mammals to the everything, are completely and totally interreliant. They depend 100%. In fact, not only are they interreliant, they're symbiotic. And that's the point that I'm making, is that most organizations have a dysfunctional, not a symbiotic relationship with the ecosystem that they serve. And we don't get to operate in a vacuum. We live in an ecosystem of customers. We live in a very challenging workforce space today, and we don't get to pretend like we don't have to deliver more value to employees and stakeholders, because we do. So again, I just want to drive down the point that if we don't look at everybody that we influence, and that includes vendors and regulators, our physical community, our industry community, our employees, our the people across the employee job spectrum, if we don't love them, know them, understand them, and serve them, we will not compete very well in the human experience economy. In my upcoming book, Human Experience Innovation, I talk a lot about what it means to be able to thrive and to really prosper in one of the most challenging times ever. And it's all done through the superpower of people. All right, so let's talk a little bit about some of the potential participants within your own organizational and industrial ecosystem. Well, certainly there are employees. Now, employees want to believe in your mission. They want to be able to be part of an organization where that organization is authoring their own personal evolutionary journey. So in other words, they want to believe in what they do every day. That's very important to younger employees today, especially. They want to believe in your mission. Yet most organizations don't clearly articulate, and they certainly don't articulate it in a redundant way, what their mission's all about. Because if it's a good mission, if it's a mission worth having, then it's something that we should share literally every day. We should build internal strategies around internal branding, communication, to let our stakeholders or to remind them about why we exist. The other aspect of happy employees is that they want to know that you have created an opportunity for them to be evolutionary. They want to get better. They want to grow. They want to prosper. Now, in our practice, what we do is we work with clients to help them build personal growth strategies. Like, wait, you know, Bill or Sandy, we're going to sit down with you and we're going to talk about what you want out of this experience beyond a paycheck. And we're going to help you get that. And we're going to have various touchstones that we look at on a regular basis to be able to make sure you're on the journey and that we keep that journey moving forward. It's incredible. It's transformative. You know, we're in a time where price sensitivity has become a very big deal. So how do we address price sensitivity? Usually it means negotiating our prices. So how do we do that when we have a lot of fixed costs? The biggest cost in your organization, being clairvoyant here, is probably labor costs. So what if you improved presenteeism and return on human capital by 30%? Well, I mean, you essentially saved 30% of cost. How do you do that? You guessed it. Human experience innovation. We need to get more employee out of the employee while providing a fair and equitable exchange for that by helping them be on a happy, healthy, and thoughtful evolutionary path. It's okay to want to get the maximum that you can out of your employees. It's okay. But there is a price, in my opinion, and that price is to help them get better, to do the things that they want to do with their job, to help them have opportunities for advancement, and the list goes on and on. So if we don't really know how to address the issues of what we now call HX, human experience, I think that the chances for you to succeed at this is pretty limited. Remember, we need to develop executive strategic committees around human experience innovation that includes all relevant departments so that we can have cross-collaboration and that we can develop an integrated strategy that ultimately goes up to the corner office. And great organizations are expecting this. Great boards of directors and boards of trustees are demanding this. And so let's do it, because they're demanding it for good reason. Okay, so the employee wants to believe in the mission. The employee wants to get better because of the work of the job with you. And also they want to know that the mission is involved in the service of other people, right? So those are the things that really employees are ultimately looking for. And this obviously goes beyond pay and benefits. Okay, so let's talk about the customer. What does the customer want? The customer wants relevancy. They want transparency. They want value. They want customization. And when we think about the employee and the customer experience, we have to remember that they don't experience us sort of monolithically. They experience us across five well-defined touch points. And these touch points include the pre-touch moment, the first touch moment, the core touch moment, the last touch moment, and the in-touch moment. That is your customer journey. So let's look at that for just a moment. What is the pre-touch moment? If you are looking for renter's insurance today, and you type in renter's insurance, and you're lucky enough to find yourself on Lemonade Insurance, you will find a website that is incredibly valuable. It's unbelievably clean and clear and valuable. The first thing you see that you can apply for your renter's insurance in about 60 seconds. You can file a claim and get paid in about 90 seconds. They understand that you're there to be able to get renter's insurance. They understand the pain points of friction. But they go a step farther because they are experts at human experience innovation. Lemonade Insurance, as you scroll down, will say, "We are a almost five-star company." Who does that? Who says we're an almost five-star company? And then they go on to talk about the mistakes they've made on their blogs. You know, we tried this and people didn't really like it. We tried this and it was a disaster. They're providing transparency. They're providing authenticity. They're making human connections. They're eliminating friction. They're demonstrating transparency and value. That is what I call the perfect pre-touch moment. The pre-touch moment is when a customer is seeking you out. It's the way in which they engage you, digitally typically, before they engage you. Now, let's say you're a restaurant. The pre-touch moment there may very well be your curb appeal. What does your restaurant look like from the streets? Are the windows clean? Is the parking lot clean? Is the design and structure of the restaurant appealing? That's a pre-touch moment. If they look at your restaurant and it doesn't look valuable, you don't get to make it in the highly competitive restaurant business. That pre-touch moment represents about 80% of deflection, meaning that this is where the rubber meets the road. You don't get a chance to talk to them. You don't get a chance to engage that potential customer unless you create digital properties and physical environments that are, as my daughter would say, delicious. Also, remember, your websites are nothing more than a value dispenser. They're nothing more than a value dispenser. What kind of value do you deliver on your website that's free? What are you doing to deliver highly relevant, valuable content and resources to your potential customer? Remember, Your pre-touch moment is about delivering value before they even become a customer. Now let's talk about the first touch moment. Let's use restaurants as an example because they're, well, easy. You decide that the restaurant looks good from the street. You pull into the parking lot, and as you approach the building, the front window is filthy. The door is filthy. As you open the door, you're greeted by a cranky receptionist or hostess. Okay, you're probably going to walk out. But even if you don't walk out, my research has shown, and others have supported this research, that the overwhelming majority of people will become heightenedly critical of your organization if the first engagement moment isn't beautiful. That's why this is so important. What is that first moment? I can remember my mom telling me that, remember, first impressions last a lifetime. And when it comes to employees, when it comes to customers, first impressions last a lifetime. You have to spend a lot of time, effort, and money to try to get people back to zero if you deliver a bad experience on the first touch point. Then, of course, there's the core moment. The core moment or the core touch point means, what is it like to engage you? What's it like to do business with you? Is it fun? Is it easy? Is it humanistic? Is it personable? Is it customized? Is it friction-free? These things really matter. In my two best-selling books, What Customers Crave and What Customers Hate, I did a ton of research looking at over 3,000 companies. It was incredible to me how much money they spent on product development and packaging design and just about everything else other than the way in which they delivered that human experience. This may sound superficial, but the truth of the matter is, a mediocre product with a great human experience will do far better in the marketplace than a great product with a bad experience. We judge everything on the experience. Let me give you a healthcare example. Doctors that tend to not have a very good bedside manner get sued far more often than doctors with presumably the same clinical efficacy that have a great personality and a great bedside manner. We don't know how to judge clinical efficacy and surgical skills, but we certainly know how to judge the way in which we were treated. It's incredibly important to understand that every aspect of our success, especially as we transition through 2025 and beyond, will be based on our ability to master this stuff. And from my perspective, it's so easy. Why wouldn't we? There's certification programs to develop the skill set in a few hours. There's templates to build out the strategies. I mean, this isn't brain surgery, right? It's just well-known stuff put together where we're dealing with the human experience holistically rather than fractionally. Most organizations that build out customer experience strategies fail in the market because the experience was not good for the vendors. It wasn't good for for everybody else within their ecosystem. It has to be holistically good. I know that I keep droning on about this, but this is the point. Human experience innovation, which drives growth, productivity, organizational exceptionalism, and the list goes on, is all based on our ability to invent better experiences to the entire ecosystem. I know I'm saying it over and over again, but it's so powerful when you see this done right. This is one thing I'm obsessed with right now because I get to see organizations doing this stuff and thriving and growing and prospering, and also the humanity of this, the ability to impact other people's life is awesome. It's really just awesome. Now, there's another component to the, let's call it the HXI ecosystem, and that's what I call connectors. Now, connectors are anybody or anything, including technology, that connect the ecosystem in a way that reduces friction and improves the overall quality of the experience. Now, let me give you a digital connector example. And there are many new AI-powered solutions that really will create, believe it or not, human advantages. But before I go there, I want to bring out a very important point. We are all obsessed with artificial intelligence. And most organizations are taking budgets and people away from human experience to invest in artificial intelligence. Well, let's just take a look at the word right off the bat. Artificial intelligence. What does it mean? Fake intelligence. Fake intelligence. It's not human. It's artificial because it's fake. Does that mean that it's not incredibly important and powerful? No, not at all. But it's still not human. So what about human intelligence? Human intelligence, instead of being like artificial intelligence, with which is fake intelligence, human intelligence is real intelligence. And so let's let the machine do the lame stuff that we don't want to do so that we can put humans on human things and we put robots on robot things. Let me give an example, though, how we can bridge those two mediums. The other day, I purchased a tile tracker. This is an electronic device that you connect to a backpack or something to find it in the event you've misplaced it. You download the Tile app. You activate your Tile tag. You put it on your backpack, and now you can find it in the event you misplace it, which, of course, I do all the time. So I bought three. Two of them worked beautifully. The third one didn't work. So I thought, oh my God, that means that I have to spend an hour calling Tile, waiting on hold, going through an obnoxious decision tree on the phone, finally getting to a tech support person who's going to want me to take the battery out, put the battery back in, wave a chicken bone over my head, do whatever, whatever. And then after this long, painful spanking session, they basically say, yeah, it doesn't look like it works. Go spend $10 on an envelope and then ship this back to us. And when we receive it, only when we receive it, then we'll ship you something that should have worked in the first place. That's how it typically always works. But not with Tile. I went on their chat bot because I didn't want to make the phone call and go through that pain. And this is what I told the robot in the chat bot. I said, I bought your product. It doesn't work. I wanted to use simple language so that the Tile could understand what's going on. The robot instantly responded back and says, wow, sounds like you've tried everything. I'm like, wait a minute, what just happened here? This robot is acting like a real human, like a really nice human, because it just gave me the benefit of the doubt. It just gave me the benefit of the doubt that I actually did everything, which frankly, I didn't do anything. I'm just calling to say, ship me another Tile. But it gave me the benefit of the doubt. I said, that's not working. It came back and said, you tried everything. And so just to keep the dialogue going, I said, yeah, I tried everything. Then in a matter of seconds, now I'm only about 6 seconds into this now, the chatbot responds back and says, I just shipped you one. I'm 6 or 7 seconds into a dialogue with a non-human robot that trusts me, believes in me, and has solved my problem. That is incredible. And in fact, it was so incredible, I was getting ready to write it a love letter. Dearest chatbot, thank you so much for your thoughtfulness and trusting me and getting, you know. But in the moment that I was thinking about how to respond, because frankly, I was a little bit overwhelmed, it sends back a text and says, pretty fast, huh? It literally is an arrogant robot that's super good. It trusted me. It engaged me quickly. It eliminated friction. It solved my problem the way that thing knew that look, the only way to solve my problem is to get me something I paid for, right? And it knows that. The only way to solve a problem when somebody ships something out and it doesn't work is to get them another one. Let's not punish them for the process of trying to get something that should have worked in the first place. The point that I'm making is connectors. We're going to leverage digital connectors and human connectors that are in the business of making connections happen in a way that honors the customer, honors the employee. In the case of association, honors the members. In the case of a buying or selling experience, that honors the buyer. In the case of a healthcare experience, honors the patient. If we can do that, and of course we can, then we have really major, major improvements to our organization. So that's another one. We have to look at employees, we have to look at customers, and then we have to look at the dynamics and architecture of the connectors. Now, another sort of long category is what I call partners, vendors, and innovators. Now, partners, vendors, and innovators are people that work with us. And these are people that really care about their, you know, for an example, our partners may be a vendor. It may be an organization that we share customers with. It may be a community partner. It may be an industrial partner. It may be. These people are really, really important. And to the extent that we deliver exceptional experiences to them, they will deliver beautiful experiences to us. And we can even co-create and innovate together as partners to do a better job of serving our employees and our customers. What does your partnership strategy look like? What's your connector strategy look like? Are you going beyond outdated CX or customer experience strategies? What is your human experience, your HR strategy around quality of work life really look like? You know, you got to make a commitment. I can remember just a month or so ago speaking for doing a training program for the Mayo Clinic, where I trained over 70,000 Mayo Clinic employees on the single syllable word of joy. Why would one of the greatest organizations on the planet care about joy? And the answer is they're one of the greatest organizations on the planet. They know that they have to attract and retain and inspire and motivate mission-critical talent, because today in healthcare, we have a major talent drought. Truth of the matter is, the talent drought is actually across most industrial categories. They also know that they had to improve productivity and presenteeism and patient safety. In other words, they were wise enough to know that they are a people-powered organization that's living in the experiential economy. All right, we also have to think about the sort of broader experiential ecosystem. You know, who else do we influence? Who else do we engage? Who else can be part of our HX innovation strategy to make certain that we're working with them to improve the quality of their experience? And also, what about the community we live in? What's our relationship and the value that we deliver our physical community? Look, if you look at organizations that support their physical communities, that support their industrial communities, that support their employees, that support their customers, that work very collaborative with partners, vendors, and innovators, these organizations are the most profitable organizations on the planet every time. You will not find data that shows an organization that is thriving and prospering that doesn't have some form of an HXI strategy in play. And that strategy comes from the philosophical ether of believing and knowing that enterprise success is people powered, especially in the human experience economy. So what's your call to action here? What do you do? You know, what I like is what we call HXI maturity analysis. What does that mean? Well, I mean, where are you? I recently joined a gym, and when I joined the gym, the first thing they did is they sort of, what kind of condition is Nick in? So they did a bunch of tests to find out what my current state of physical fitness was. Well, makes sense, right? You can't develop a plan until you understand what somebody's current state is. Well, of course, the same thing is true in the area of customer experience, employee experience, vendor, partner, innovator experience, connector experience, broader community experience. All of these things need to be looked at so that you can develop a custom strategy that allows you to get where you want to go from where you currently are located. Now, sometimes it's best to have an outside third party do these assessments because it's hard not to be prejudicial. But having said that, it's not impossible. You just have to be willing to be really self-aware. So the first thing is, where do we stand? Where do we stand in terms of the going beyond outdated surveys and VOC methods and canned market data? Where do we stand right now? Well, and then, of course, we have to be willing to say, wow, we have some problems here. We have, in this essential gap analysis, we have some stuff that doesn't exist that needs to exist. We're not very good at this area. We're not very good at that area. We don't do good cross-departmental collaboration and ideation to be able to create holistic solutions around human experience innovation. We're just not that great at it. So that's where we are today. So let's wipe everything off the table. Let's put together our HXI strategic committee, and let's talk about how we can apply these principles to make everybody's world better. Again, the goal here and the thing, the deliverables of all of this, is an organization that is far more innovative. It's an organization that has really happy employees, and it's an organization where people really, really want to work. And not only do they really want to go to work there, they also want to work there. And that's one of the challenges with this concept around quiet quitting. We have individuals and organizations that take a paycheck and deliver virtually no output. And I don't mean to speak about people as an output-input thing, but at the end of the day, pragmatically, we have to get the maximum amount of return on human capital in order to compete in a time of price sensitivity and hyper-competition. It's just required. We also know that we can create far better relationships with vendors, partners, and innovators to give us access to new ideas and new products and services and even better pricing. Again, everything that we want to do, and I've been a management consultant for four decades, everything that we want to do in our organization is fueled by improving the experience across the ecosystem. So there you go. This is a primer of what we do in our Certified Master of Human Experience program. And it really should give you at least some things to think about. How good are we really? Are we using surveys and VOC methods and outdated insight methods for employee surveys and so on? Are we creating next generation strategies? And are we deploying on the superpower of human experience innovation? So let me leave you with a few tips, some stuff that can kind of supercharge your ability to do this. I recommend that executives and leaders get formal training in human experience innovation. And again, programs can be as short as 4 hours and can provide the templates and systems and everything you need to really get the show on the road. Make sure and be open to the idea of self-analysis through the maturity analysis, because it'll give you insights that'll just, they're mind-blowing. And the benefits to you, your department, your enterprise is just overwhelming. Also, remember that there are three elements to human experience innovation. Element number one, far better insights. And that includes insights about your market, your customer, your employee, your partners, your vendors, your innovators, your connectors, your broader community. You need to know a lot more about them. And if you've been using surveys and VOC methods, chances are the information is fractional and erroneous. The second thing you have to realize is that any customer experience strategy, any employee experience strategy, or any other vertical strategy that isn't holistic by bringing in the dynamics of the broader human experience ecosystem will fail. They will be submarginal, and they will ultimately not deliver the results. And look, here's the good news. It doesn't cost more to do this right. It really doesn't. It doesn't cost more to do this right. If you just want to improve customer experience, apply HXI. If you want to just improve employee experience, implement HXI. The point is here is that you have to do it this way to make it work. And when I was writing books, you know, 8-9 years ago on customer experience, I really focused just on customer experience, customer experience, customer experience. When I was writing books on just innovation, was innovation, innovation. The epiphany that I had, the enlightenment that I received by realizing that this is all the same stuff. We just need to make it all one integrated solution in order for it to be more effective. We're far more innovative when we are people-centric. We are far more profitable when we are people-centric. All of this stuff does have to happen in the human experience economy. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this short masterclass on what human experience is, the benefits of human experience, the ecosystem of human experience, and the way in which you can begin the process of conducting your own maturity analysis to be able to find out really where you are today in human experience innovation. Thanks again.